Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In the book The Scarlet Thread by Doug McNaught, he tells the story of how rope manufacturers identified ropes that were guaranteed to be strong enough to hold a man if he fell while climbing. These ropes were made with a scarlet thread woven among the strands of cotton or hemp used to make the rope. Anyone picking up such a rope knew that it was safe for use in mountain climbing. The same kind of ropes were required for use in the Royal Australian Navy prior to World War II. Scarlet thread meant that the rope could be trusted. Well, this same kind of assurance exists for all those who give heed to God's word. Woven all through the course of human history is a thread which assures us of the love of our Father in heaven. This thread, which we will call a golden thread in our study today, is summarized in the most beloved verse of Scripture in the Bible. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This golden thread is woven from cover to cover in the Bible as God's gracious invitation for mankind to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And it is manifested in the many ways in which God has preserved his plan for saving mankind. For a few moments today, we will survey some of the examples of our Father's provision for our salvation. In the account of creation, we see that everything that God created was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. In this perfect world, God planted a garden in Eden, and he placed the man in the garden to cultivate it and to keep it, Genesis 2, verse 15. In this setting, man enjoyed a close relationship with God until Satan brought sin into the world by tempting Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. As a result of this sin, the perfect world was spoiled, and the close relationship with God was broken. Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 tells us that after eating the forbidden fruit, the eyes of Adam and Eve were opened. They saw that they were naked, and they were ashamed to face God in that condition, so they tried to hide from him. In this condition, they were separated from him and doomed, but God extended the golden thread of his love to them so that they would still have hope. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Scripture says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.'" By this promise, God provided the means by which the close relationship which had been broken by sin could be restored. Satan's attempt to separate mankind from its creator was foiled, and it was the golden thread that overcame him. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, they multiplied and began to fill the earth as God has commanded them. In time, however, the specter of sin raised its ugly head once again. By the time of Noah, the world had become so evil that God was forced to take drastic action. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, he declared that he was going to blot out all life upon the earth. This, of course, would have ended the world's hope for eternity. The golden thread of God's love was still present, though, and it manifested itself in God's covenant with Noah and his family. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the Scripture says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Then in verses 17 and 18, God said, "Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you." In this way, God spared a righteous remnant from which he could build again. The influence of Satan had brought mankind to the brink, but God's golden thread kept hope alive in the eight precious souls who entered the ark before the flood. Satan was thwarted once again. After the flood, Noah and his family set out to fill the earth as God intended. In the generations that followed, the people began to think more highly of themselves than they ought. In Genesis chapter 11, the scripture tells us that they decided to make a name for themselves by building a tower that would reach into heaven. In so doing, they were violating God's command to spread out from there and fill the earth. As a result, God confused their languages and drove them from that place. This was the origin of different nations and languages, and could have been an obstacle to bringing mankind into obedience to God's will. The sin of his people forced God to scatter them from that place, but his golden thread of love did not leave them without hope. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, God once again made provision for mankind. Here the scripture says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." In this promise, God established the means by which the Savior of the world would come. God's one and only Son would be born of Abraham's descendants, and through all the ups and downs of their history, God renewed the promise he made to Abraham on that occasion. Ultimately, Satan's efforts to derail God's love would face their strongest challenge and their ultimate defeat in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The golden thread of God's love found its perfect manifestation in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in order to reassure him about his betrothed wife who had been found to be pregnant. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This was the fulfillment not only of the promise God made to Abraham, but of the promise God had made when he cursed Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus was the enmity which would stand between Satan and mankind, and he was the one who would bruise Satan on the head. As Jesus went about preaching the good news, he was doing God's will and laying the foundation for the means by which mankind could attain eternal life. The ultimate victory over Satan would soon be a practical reality for those who chose to obey the Lord. Jesus had expressed this hope in his proclamation to Peter and the apostles in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Here the Lord said, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." When the crowds on the day of Pentecost asked Peter and the rest of the apostles what they should do, the kingdom of heaven was opened to them in the answer that Peter gave them. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he said, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise of the golden thread was thus fulfilled. 3,000 souls were added to the body of Christ as a result of the preaching of the gospel on that occasion. Within a short period of time thereafter, the number of believers grew to over 5,000 men alone. The preaching of the gospel led to the conversion of thousands all over the world before the end of the first century. And the golden thread is still there, and still accomplishing its purpose today. Before the Lord left the earth, he promised his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is perhaps the ultimate expression of what the golden thread is all about. God desires us to be with Him for all eternity in the place that has been prepared for us. There is nothing that could be better for us than this promise. Knowing the nature of mankind, however, and the tenacity of Satan, our Father in heaven has not left us defenseless as we go through the journey of life. In the pages of Scripture, our Father has left us everything we need to keep us on the narrow path that leads to life and to assure us that the golden thread of His love will never fail us so long as we abide in His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Scripture tells us that God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul the Apostle tells us that the Scriptures are inspired by God and that they equip us for every good work. When we think about these two statements, one by Peter and one by Paul, we understand then that God, in His love, this golden thread of His love, is right there present in the revealed Word of God in that book that we call the Bible. It contains everything we need in order to achieve eternal life. There is nothing that we can turn to. There is no other source. There is nothing that we can discover that will get us to heaven beyond what has already been revealed to us in the revealed Word of God, the written Word of God, the book we call the Bible. So we have in the Scriptures everything to lay hold of God's golden thread of love so that He can save us. We have within the pages of Scripture everything we need to resist every temptation of Satan, to overcome him by the power of God's Word so that that promise of God will not be found to fail in our lives. It will not fail because God has failed. If that promise fails, it will fail because we have failed to live up to the promises of Scripture and lay hold of the golden thread of His love in the pages of Scripture. Well, mountain climbers will not go climbing without the proper safety rope in hand. They know that to go without the proper rope is to court disaster. The golden thread of God's love is our safety line here in life that will keep us from falling into Satan's pit. God has freely given it to us by the sacrifice of His love as the atonement for our sins, and through the revealed Word that He has provided to us in that book that we call the Bible, that we have the means to access that atonement by our obedience to the will of our Savior Jesus Christ as it is revealed in that book. It is God's desire that we live with Him in eternity, and by the golden thread of His love, we can lay hold of that promise and make it our own by our obedience to His will. God loved us enough to sacrifice His one and only Son. The question is, will we love Him enough to obey the gospel so that His golden thread of love can draw us into heaven at the end of time? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.